Hello from a cold and rainy Islamabad. I can't believe the weather's changed so fast. It's unbelievable. And me, I hate winters. I love the summer. Even though it gets to about 40, 41 degrees here, I do prefer to winter anytime. Anyways, I hope all of you are well. Welcome to the Aging Millennial Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, for the feedback you've given me over the past 2 months. It's been very overwhelming. I'm loving the positive feedback coming in as well as the constructive feedback. I just appreciate the love. So going straight into the topic today, and I think it's a very personal one. And I did think about how to position this topic and how much to talk about it. And I think I'll have to talk about it over a couple of episodes. But the topic is divorce. And many of you may know that I got divorced about 2 years ago, and it was an interesting phase in my life. But I think there's a lot of, actually, I don't think, I know. I know there's a lot of stigma and taboo attached to divorce, especially in an Asian / Muslim culture. And I'm hoping that through this episode and perhaps the future ones, I want to start, I want to kind of contribute to removing the stigma and taboo attached to divorce. And I think I can do that with my personal experience, and kind of making it comfortable for people to take that step if they feel they're in that, at that point in their lives. And perhaps also tips in the future episodes of maybe how to avoid a divorce, how to work on your marriage. If I had done things differently in my marriage, maybe I would have still been married. So, I want to give all the perspectives. So in this episode, I'm going to focus on, give some quick stats on divorce, a very top line experience, top line sharing of my experience over the 2 years of my marriage, how I dealt with the aftermath of divorce. And I think that's going to be the crux, because many of you, if you're listening, you may have gone through a divorce or going through a divorce, and you maybe not be able to cope with it. So perhaps there's tips on how to cope with some of this stuff, especially coming from an Asian perspective. It could help many of you. So just to give a quick stat. So these two researchers at University of California did some research across 84 countries and analyzed some divorce data between the years of 1970 to 2008. And they found the average divorce rate per 1,000 marriages is 4.08. So surprisingly or unsurprisingly, the lowest was in Sri Lanka at 0.45. Peru was at 0.48. But if you go to some other countries, like Kazakhstan was about 19 divorces per 1,000 marriages. Cuba was 11. Japan was 3. Iran was 1.80. South Africa was 2.68. And Egypt and Kuwait were both 4.68. So a stark difference, but Kazakhstan at 19 really stands out. And they found, and they try to correlate their findings with some, factors. So they found that countries with higher GDP per capita had higher divorce rates. Countries which had a higher proportion of women in the workplace had higher divorce rates. I'm not sure how that works. Countries where the population was highly educated, so higher secondary school enrollment rates, had higher divorce rates. Interesting enough, religious groups. So wherever there were higher proportion of Catholics, that had a higher divorce rate. Wherever there were higher Muslims, there was a lower divorce rate. And I'm sure I can explain that. And I think in the Muslim societies or Asian societies, there's higher stigma and higher taboo attached to divorce. Another study found, a study by OECD that on average marriages last, in Italy for 18 years, in the US for 12 years, and in Qatar for 5 years. Some other fun stats now. In the US, about 500 divorces happen during a typical romantic comedy movie. So that's a sign, don't watch romantic comedies. And there are 9 divorces by the time couples complete their wedding vows, which take about 2 minutes. In 2 minutes, there are about 9 divorces on average in the US. I mean, going on to some serious stuff. So the main drivers behind divorce found by OECD, 18% is infidelity, 44% is incompatibility, 9% is associated with drinking, drugs, or some substance abuse, 6% is mental and physical abuse, and then 23% is unattributed to a particular factor. So 44% incompatibility, that is really, and I, you know, when I talk to people who have been divorced, incompatibility is the main reason why some may have got divorced. But just coming back to my experience, or going into my experience, so I was married 2 years, and it was a semi-arranged marriage whereby I was introduced to the girl through my, some of my, former friends. And we hit it off, got along. I had a few ups and downs during the pre-marriage relationship, but then eventually got married. And we were married for about 2 years. And in year one, and I think I alluded to this earlier in the therapy episode, but in year one of my marriage, that's when I first went into therapy. And not because I was married, just because I started seeing some traits inside myself or some habits which were having a negative impact on my marriage or my relationship. And that's when I decided, shit, I need to seek help for this, because I do want to improve the relationship. I do want to make things work. And if there's something which I need to address from my side, why not? And it always takes takes two to tango. So I went to therapy, and then through my former workplace, I attended this forum called Landmark Forum, which is focused around dealing with your past traumas or your basically about transforming your life for the better. So I attended this course, which was over 3 days, which was quite helpful in that time. But when I think about it, it was a bit of brainwashing, but that's for a different episode. I was honest with my ex about my insecurities. In my year when I really tried to make things less difficult, we went on our honeymoon, which was great for about a week and a half. But in year one, we already mentioned divorce from both sides initially. We kind of that incompatibility, did start appearing right very early on in the relationship. And then in year two, we went for marriage therapy. I kind of threw all my cards on the table, let's try this, let's try that. So I opted for marriage therapy, marriage counseling. The ex wasn't up for it, but over a while I persuaded her, which was good. So we attended 3 sessions, but it was a very anti-Amar session. So I stopped going after that because it wasn't beneficial in any way. Went for a trip, a holiday, and that made me realize that, fine, your environment changes, but you still can't run away from your problems, even though you think a holiday might help. There might be a change of scenery, you might be going to a different cafe and so forth, but your problems are still there. However, in year two, I did make more of a conscious effort to prioritize my marriage over my friends and socializing. Both of us tried. Both of us really did try. There were issues from both sides. But from my perspective, I never talk about the ex in a bad light, and I never would want to, because that's just how I function. But from my perspective, I think from a why the relationship wasn't working from my side was, I still like my independence, and I'm being very honest here. So I love my independence, and I still do. I like my own space. I think our my goals didn't align with hers and my values in life, and we wanted perhaps different things. We were in different phases in our life. So I had been working for a number of years. She hadn't. So there were different phases, and you know, we had a bit of an age difference, which does make a difference, a somewhat difference as well, in my view. Others may not agree, but in my view, it does make a difference. And you know, you know, there were different pressures, there were different expectations. You know, the financial was an issue as well at times. So you know, there are different factors, and I guess I mean, this was my first marriage, but when you're in a marriage, and when it comes to it, you tend to deal with it very differently versus, you know, maybe you're not married and you're like, oh shit, you know, when I get married, I'll deal with it this way, or you know, financially, I'll deal with it this way, and you know, I'll act in a certain way, and I'll get rid of these habits and that and this and that. But let's be honest, guys, when it does come to a marriage, you know, a person does behave very differently. So this is a great example of, you know, in marketing, when I've done consumer research, claimed behavior, or what people will say they do, is very different to what they actually do in the supermarket or when it comes to buying. So it's very much the same in a marriage. You know, you say you do one thing before marriage, when it comes to it, it's very different. But you know, I will go. I think I will need another episode to kind of dive into you know, where my faults were, and you know, how I improved myself, and how that journey was for me on a more personal level, in another episode. But I think there was a decisive moment which you know, which where I realized, you know, both of us were going back and forth and talking about divorce. But someone had to take the step. You know, it just kept dragging on and on and on and on. And you know, at a decisive point, a moment, you know, where we had an argument over the course of a couple of days, I took the step and you know, asked for a divorce. And yes, I might be the bad person then, but you know, a divorce isn't an easy thing to think about or take it a step for. And you know, you take time, you take time to reflect, you take time to consult maybe other close ones or people who have experience in this kind of situation, you know, your elders or your parents, or you know, your extended family members or your very close friends. So it's not an easy decision to come to. But I think there was just a spark in my head at that point after a certain incident where I was like, you know what, I think this is over. We've tried, you know, hard enough, both sides. And you know, in Asian cultures and in Pakistani cultures, you know, there is you need to get ready for a lot of shit that comes afterwards, which I'll cover in a couple of minutes. But you know, but you need to think what's best for you, and you just do that step. So I did that, and you know, I wouldn't say the aftermath was easy at all. You know, at least the first year of divorce, or the year and a half, it was a very challenging and very difficult time for me, and I would say for my family as well. But to start with, you know, in Pakistani culture, or in Asian culture, or in conservative cultures, everyone wants to, you know, the divorced person or their family always wants to blame the other side. So that's where all the allegations start happening, faults or whichever. A lot of mudslinging happens. And that's very common in Pakistani culture. So for example, you know, the guy's family might you know, wrongly accuse a girl of, you know, of having an affair, or this and that. And the other side, the girl's family might accuse the guy of being, you know, gay or having an affair, or you know, so many other things which might not even be true, but you know, they happen to make it, you know, they happen to start telling other people, the rumors start. And you know, it really does impact the person, but it also impacts the family as well. So the stance I took and the family took is, you know, you just stay calm. You don't respond, and you don't say anything about bad about your ex either. You know, because if you respond to dirty games with dirt, then it just keeps going on and on and on, and it results in nothing. So, you know, it's over. You accept it. You deal with the relationship being over. You accept your responsibility in that relationship, And you start moving on. But in Pakistani culture and Asian culture, it doesn't happen that way. And that's really sad because that puts a lot of people off of getting a divorce. Even though they want to, they tend to stay in marriages just because the other person has an upper hand or has their secret or has something they can use afterwards or can emotionally blackmail. And unfortunately, that makes a lot of people stay in marriages. But trust me, this lasts for a while, and then it just goes away. But you have to be very, very, very strong. The second one is, once you get divorced, you get, especially if you come from a very conservative culture or close-knit culture, you get need to get ready for the comments from family and friends. So I'll give you an example. I had many interesting comments come to me. And the most interesting one was, Amar, you got divorced. That means you're weak and you couldn't handle the turbulence. Other comments you get is divorce has never happened in our family. What would people say about us? What would people say about you? You'll never get married again. Then people start blaming you for the stress you've caused them and so forth. What I've learned is you stay calm as well. You don't respond to this. You perhaps laugh it off if you can. And if you can't and it doesn't sit well with you, just don't respond back. Because you might say something and you respond back, you might say something which hurt the others. And they might not be saying it from a bad place either. They might be saying it from a good place because they really have felt stressed in that situation. So, give them benefit of the doubt. And especially the situation is really difficult, especially for you. But I guess in conservative cultures, people just don't realize that the person who got divorced, who's going through a divorce, how hard it is for him or her. Because everyone tends to think about themselves. But just be patient, and go through it. Friends. So dealing with your friends afterwards, do get ready for your best for good friends to criticize you, not understanding your story. You might hear from people who you've never heard for years, but they contact you because they want to hear the gossip. Why? What happened? We heard this about you. We heard that about you. Is it true? There's some, your best friends or good friends may still be hanging out with your ex. So you need to get ready for all this crap. And honestly, there are ways to deal with this. So you talk to them. You be honest of your expectations, why you have been hurt, if you're feeling that way. And if the behavior continues, then it's a really, 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 really good sign of cutting those people off because they're toxic in your life and you just don't need them. Remember, you're not answerable to them. Your life is not their responsibility. And there's some friends and even family members who might just be there for the sake of gossip. And you just need to cut those people out. And do check my episode on toxic friends and how to deal with them. Well, identify them and how to deal with them as well. But it's a really good way. It leaves you with really honest people in the end, and high quality people as well. And I think the biggest one is emotions. So once you get divorced, you go through mixed feelings. There's at times you feel like you're a failure. What if I did this in my relationship? What if I did that? Was it all me? And you start blaming yourself. It might lead to depression. It might make you feel guilty. You feel that there's no one for you. And whatever you're feeling, do accept it. Do not ignore these feelings because the more you suppress them, the more they'll haunt you later on. So deal with them. Try to understand where they're coming from. Yes, they might not always be true, but still feel them. And don't force yourself to move on either. Don't force yourself to feel a certain way. This can take months. This can take years. There's no right time frame. If you want to cry, let it out. If you want to shout, then do it as well. I know there. I think in Japan, they have these shouting rooms where you go in, and the rooms are soundproof, and you can shout as loud as you want, and no one would hear you. So I think they should have these in every single city. It'd be a really good business and really help people who just want to let their frustration out, and can't because they can't shout the house and so forth. So, I suggest don't force your feelings. Don't pressure yourself to feed in a certain way and deal with your feelings. Talk to someone. Talking may help. Go to therapy if you can. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. This process, this divorce process, is different for everyone. And just accept it, you know. And honestly, I do know that I'm kind of dealing with the aftermath of divorce is different for everyone. So you might have kids, and it might be very, very difficult for you. And please do share your experience as well. I'm sure I'm luckily I didn't have kids in that marriage, or else it would have been very difficult. But and I know I can't ignore it that the situation might be hard for others who do have kids. But in the end, you need to do what's good for you. And honestly, with the aftermath, things die over time, and people do forget. But honestly, what people think and their opinions and their judgments should not be your concern. Your concern should be you. And if you're at that junction, if you're at that place where you think divorce is the next step, you're the only one who knows. I can't give you advice on whether you should get divorced or get out of a relationship, nor can your parents, nor can your therapist, nor can anyone. It's up to you. So you need to take responsibility for your life. You need to realize that you have to live with that person. No one else will. So if you can live with that person, you need to wake up next to that person. You share happiness with that person. You achieve milestones together. You have children together if you can. Your life is with that person, and you're the only one who can think whether I can live with that person or not, whether this relationship is moving in the direction I want it to or not. No one else can. The purpose isn't to the purpose of marriage isn't to brighten up your Instagram feeds or to make your family happy or to get married by a certain age or to have kids. Marriage is obviously much more bigger than that, and take the time you need to get married if you feel the need to do so. Don't force yourself into anything. And always it's always helps talking to your family, talking to your parents, ask them about the marriage experiences, asking them about their challenging experiences, happy moments. I mean, I had happy moments in my marriage as well. It'd be naive to really ignore those. You have happy moments, you have sad moments. But you really need to assess whether the relationship or the marriage is, for you or not. And I think there's a great quote by Jennifer Weiner who says, "Divorce isn't such a tragedy. A tragedy is staying in an unhappy marriage, teaching your children the wrong things about love. Nobody ever died of divorce." And honestly, I completely agree with this. In the beginning, you think, "Oh shit, divorce, divorce, divorce. I'm never gonna get married again. I'm gonna be sad my whole life." But you survive and you become even a better person. If I think about the positive things after divorce in my life, is that I finally taken responsibility of my life, my well-being, and my happiness. I never really took responsibility for that in the past. I've cut out toxic people from my life, or fake people. So I really have some really good people in my life and good friends in my life. I learned about me, my habits, what I need for my next relationship. What I'm looking for in my next partner, what to do in my next marriage, what not to do in my next marriage. It taught me about where my family went wrong, where I went wrong, where people around me went wrong, who my friends were, how they influenced me in my marriage, how, there's so much I learned about myself. But it's also made me a realist as well. Marriage and relationships is an utopia. And I'm definitely going to have an episode where I talk about marriage and the good things about marriage and how it's still a great institution, a strong institution. I completely believe in it. But I think it's really important to talk about divorce as well and starting to normalize that discussion on divorce. Because I think that if you don't normalize divorce, then it makes it really hard for others. Especially I've seen people who stay in abusive marriages just because of the family pressure about what people will say. Their kids or have friends whose parents have been unhappy for years and years and years, and the only reason their parents stay in the marriages is for the children. And just really sad, it's really sad to be living in a house where You might be sleeping in the same bed, but you don't have the intimacy, you don't talk to one another, you don't like one another, but you're just tied down due to social pressures, social stigma, taboo, and so forth. So hopefully this was just a start to normalizing the talk around divorce by sharing my experience, but there's obviously a lot more related to divorce. But I really hope that it starts giving you food for thought that if you've gone through a divorce, you're going through a divorce, how to deal with it. And I'd love to hear about your personal experiences as well. If you've gone through a divorce, how did you cope with it? Was it hard for you? Was it easy for you? And if you're thinking of a divorce, I'd be happy to, advise you. I'd be happy to speak to you, to hear you, to listen to you, and to help you decide what the next best step is for you as well. So, always believe, life carries on. You will definitely meet the love of your life, hopefully, and God has plans for you. And I'm just gonna end the episode on this weird fact, actually. So more than 80 hippos previously owned by the Colombian drug lord Pablo Escobar have a unique distinction in US law. So they are the first non-human creatures to be legally considered people. The U.S. District for the Southern District of Ohio recognized the late Escobar's infamous cocaine hippos as legal persons for the first time in the United States. Honestly, I don't know how that's possible. I did read that this person filed the case for them to be recognized as legal people or people to avoid them being killed. Honestly, this world has weird laws. And weird stuff happens here, but I'm happy the hippos didn't get killed. But it's an interesting thing nonetheless to see hippos being recognized as people when they're not really people. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed this episode. There's obviously more to come. The discussion on divorce doesn't end here. But as always, I'd love to hear your constructive feedback. Please rate and review this podcast. The more you rate it, the more you view it, the more other people we listen to it. And as always, have a great week. Stay happy, stay safe, and I will speak to you next week. Goodbye.